Thank you, Sam Lannis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Lannis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Lannis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Today marking the 20th anniversary of the death of Princess Diana, and conspiracy theories are still swirling about what exactly took place that night in Paris.
French authorities found that Diana was killed in a car accident after her driver lost control of the car she was in while trying to get away from paparazzi. Although the media blamed the paparazzi following the car, many conspiracy theories came out of the tragic event. One that has not gone away 2 decades later says that the SAS, the Special Forces Unit of the British Army, was involved in Diana and her lover Dodi Fayed's death. Scotland Yard launched a probe 4 years ago after an ex-soldier claimed the princess was murdered by the Special Forces Unit. Dodi's dad, Mohammed Al-Fayed, says he believes the two were killed by security services because the establishment was appalled by the idea of having a Muslim marry a royal. Other theories say the brakes on the vehicle were tampered with, and others claim that Diana could have been pregnant during the incident.
That's Mark Mayfield reporting. A new British study finds healthy adults who walk slowly rather than briskly are twice as likely to die from heart disease as people who do walk at a faster pace. Researchers studying over 400,000 people over 6 years, they say people who walked more slowly could have a low physical fitness level and higher risk of dying from heart trouble. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. And a 2.7-mile-wide asteroid named Florence, the largest asteroid to pass by Earth since records began, will do so tomorrow, passing around 145 million miles from us. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the city of Houston and how you can help the residents there with donations. I'll have 4 tips for attracting new customers to your business, 5 secrets for managing a multi-generational workforce, and 6 ways to break bad business habits. It's Thursday, August 31st, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do, we check the weather. It's currently 79 degrees at 12:06. Today, it'll be partly sunny with a shower in spots later this afternoon, a high of 82 degrees and a low of 49. For tomorrow, it'll be cooler with increasing clouds and a high of 69 degrees and a low of 51. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, cooling off a little bit with rain in the afternoon, a high of 64 and a low of 59. And for Sunday, we're going to have some showers in the morning with warmer temperatures, sunshine later in the day, a high of 78 and a low of 58. Looking ahead to Labor Day Monday, it'll be partly sunny and warmer with a high of 82 and a low of 61. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 37.58 to 21,930.01. The NASDAQ up 45.43 to 6413.76. S&P 500 up 9.97 to 2467.56. Oil is up $1.25 to $47.21 per barrel. Gold up $9.10 to $1,323.20 an ounce. Facebook viewers, including Robin Fatou, you're now up to date Now it's time to listen live on www.heartandchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and once again, welcome to another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad you could join us, and if you are listening online, this would be a good time for you to like our page on Facebook. It's called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and so if you look up that page, like and follow us, you'll get updates midweek about things happening on the show and other things that are happening in the business world. Yesterday, for instance, got a lot of texts and emails from people saying that they really appreciated the fact that I had given out a lot of information on how people could help with donations for the folks down in Houston. And that's the type of information we want to be passing along on that page. We always start this part of the program with what we call the business quote of the week. It comes to us today from W. Clement Stone, a gentleman, an author that I had the opportunity to meet while I was in college. Funny story there that we'll get to in a minute. But he said, sales are contingent upon the attitude of the salesman, not the attitude of the prospect. If you go in and you're doing a presentation and you're coming across negative, like you don't have that passion, like you don't have the belief in what you're selling, you cannot sell it. It's as simple as that. So sales are contingent upon the attitude of the salesman, not on the attitude of the prospect. So W. Clement Stone came to my college back in, I think, 1982, and I was asked, would I pick him up at Bendham Airport in Bridgeport, West Virginia? So I drove my car, went to pick him up, and you know, he was coming to a big reception. He was getting an award, and he was going to do a presentation and a great speech. And so I had picked him up, and I had already read his book. He started out as an insurance salesman in Chicago, in probably one of the worst neighborhoods, and ended up becoming a multimillionaire, if not billionaire, as a result of his efforts. And, you know, but he was talking to me about attitude, and he looked at me and he goes, son, do you like this car? I go, well, sir, it gets me where I need to go. By the way, I was driving a copper-colored AMC Pacer at the time. And he goes, well, do you want a better car? I said, yes. And he goes, you have to believe in it. You have to want it, and then it'll happen. And again, going back, and I read his book again, and I've read it several times since, it really made a lot of sense, you know. His book was called Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude. It's something that I embrace every day, and hopefully you do too. And a lot of times, even when you're up against a lot of adversity, just having that positive mental attitude will get you through a lot of things. Now it's time for us to talk about Houston. You're listening to the sounds of the Gatlin Brothers, Larry, Steve, and Rudy, with one of their hits called Houston, one of my favorite songs, and a song that my wife and I used to play all the times when she would take business trips down to MD Anderson Cancer Center for some clinical trial studies she was working on. And on the day before she would come home, I'd always blast that on the radio when she would call home so that she knew that just one more day and she'd be home. Well, obviously, Hurricane Harvey has hit and hit in a big way down in Houston, dumping over 51 inches of rain to that region. There's about 50,000 people that probably will need some form of shelter, may not be able to return to their homes. 450,000 people may qualify for federal flood victim insurance. And although Harvey has now moved out of the area, it's going to be weeks, months, and probably years before Houston has any semblance of its old self. And if you think back to Katrina, when Hurricane Katrina hit about 12 years ago, this week, in fact, many neighborhoods never recovered. And there's many areas in the New Orleans area, in the Ninth Ward, where if you drive through today, you'll find that where there was once house, lot after lot after lot, it's now house, then three empty lots, and then another house may pop up. But New Orleans, I believe it's reported, said that about 25% of the people never returned. And hopefully Houston can recover. There's a lot of debate as to whether or not this was handled correctly. No evacuation order, because the last time there was an evacuation order, more people died during the evacuation than during the actual flooding. Because the roads were congested, people were dying in very hot cars. Whether we have time to Monday morning quarterback that later. Right now, what has to happen is there obviously has to be relief, and it can't come fast enough from the federal government. And what we've seen is that more and more during times of disaster, like Superstorm Sandy, Hurricane Floyd, Irene, and Doria, it's neighbor helping neighbor. And it's a time, if you remember last week's show, we talked about the divisiveness that was being displayed in Charlottesville and, you know, white versus black, white supremacists versus black. And one of the more telling images coming out of Houston is that it doesn't matter. Skin color doesn't matter. Republican and Democrat doesn't matter. What matters is human helping human. And that's the way it should always be. So I have a couple of websites, a couple of organizations that if you're looking to help out, you can contact them. Again, before you do anything, it's always a good idea to go to a website called Charity Navigator. It's a great place to start to determine whether or not the organization is legitimate and where your money would go. So in general relief, Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner created a relief fund called the Greater Houston Community Foundation. That's going to connect donors with a network of nonprofits and innovative solutions in the social sector. So again, the Greater Houston Community Foundation. There's also Global Giving, the United Way of Greater Houston. The Center for Disaster Philanthropy has also launched the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. There's GoFundMe pages out there. The Salvation Army is collecting donations, providing food and water to first responders, and preparing for massive feeding efforts for the residents. The Red Cross is also taking in donations. The Send Relief and Southern Baptist Disaster Relief says its teams began responding before Harvey even made landfall. And Samaritan's Purse is accepting donations as well as volunteers for Harvey disaster relief in the coming months. The Red Cross is taking in blood donations across the country. Anytime there's a disaster like this, there's often very time where people will need blood. And that could be used for babies that were recently born, people having surgeries. It's not a bad idea to stock up the blood bank. So donate at your local hospital or through American Red Cross blood drives. The shelter is obviously a big need down there. Airbnb has set up urgent accommodation site where people can open their homes to evacuees. The Coalition for the Homeless of Houston and Harris County coordinates the city's response to homelessness. So that's another organization. Food is going to be necessary for many months to come, and there are several food banks that you can consider donating money instead of food to. They will eventually buy the food from that, but if you're considering a monetary donation, consider the Houston Food Bank, the Galveston Food Bank, the Food Bank of Golden Crescent, Corpus Christi Food Bank, the Southeast Texas Food Bank, the Food Bank of the Rio Grande Valley, Brazos Valley Food Bank, Central Texas Food Bank, and the San Antonio Food Bank. For people with disabilities, there's an organization called Port Light Strategies, which helps people with disabilities with post-disaster relief work. For kids, the Texas Diaper Bank based in San Antonio works to meet the basic needs of vulnerable babies, children with disabilities, and seniors. It focuses on providing partner agencies with diapers and goods that people will need. Now, here's one that a lot of people don't think about, but animals. Local shelters here in New Jersey are receiving animals now. St. Hubert's in Madison, St. Hubert's in Branchburg. Have started to receive animals. There's another shelter in Mercerville that I know received about 100 dogs yesterday. The SPCA of Texas is organizing evacuations of pets in Texas around the country. So here's where the shelters need your help. They will need money because they're going to have to buy food. They're going to have to buy medicine. But what I'm being told by St. Hubert's is more than anything, they need towels. So if you have old towels in your house, you've been looking to replace them, they're getting a little ratty, maybe they're in the garage, maybe you've saved them for a donation, bring them to St. Hubert's, call local animal shelters. Most counties have animal shelters, and see if you can't donate your towels to those shelters. No matter what it is, human helping human please help. Make donations any way you can, whether it's by money, whether it's by towels to the local animal shelters. Any way you feel appropriate, please give as much as you possibly can. This is going to take decades for Houston to recover from. So anything you can do is greatly appreciated. We're going to step away for our first break, and when we come back, more of Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Ganeau. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program in about another month, going on 6 years. So glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses, large and small. One issue that keeps coming up in conversations I have with local business owners is the desire, the need to get new customers. And they don't always know where to start. They don't always know what's the best way. And a lot of times it's as simple as making sure you're taking care of your existing customers, because they'll, through word of mouth, tell friends and colleagues and coworkers and hopefully attract new people to you. But getting new customers is a top concern for many business owners. And hopefully the four tips I have for you here is going to help making that priority a reality. Long-term customers make a difference, a big difference in your business. There's no way around the fact that investing in your faithful customers pays off. However, getting more traffic in the door, whether it be virtual or brick and mortar, can't take a back seat. Small business owners agree. A recent Manta survey found that 50% rank acquiring new customers as their top business resolution, for this year and beyond. But how can you actually do it? The first tip is don't underestimate the power of word of mouth. Now remember, and I've said this probably 30 times on this program, Earl Nightingale back in 1965 said, the best form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. That has never changed. And so you want to make sure that treating your loyal customers well gives them the ammunition they need to rave, whether by tweet or Facebook or anywhere else or face-to-face in 140 characters, to friends and followers about why they love you and why they love your business. Number two, you want to draw customers to you. Now, you know who your ideal customer is, or at least you should, so use that knowledge to develop targeted content, whether you're blogging, using website messaging, that's going to answer the questions and serves up what they need. This is known as inbound marketing. And as you get to know customers better, you can make tweaks and personalize those messages. The third tip is to bring your products or services to your customer. You know, there can be value in traditional outbound marketing, which would be considered print or advertising type messaging, but it's not for every business. So consider the cost, the short-term versus the long-term return, and then how you might combine tactics with inbound efforts for increased success. Lead generation shouldn't be intimidating. You're already doing it. The name of the game is optimization. So track all marketing initiatives. Figure out what's working and then improve upon that. Keep in mind that attracting customers is only half the battle. So add elements such as access to a report, a white paper, or a special offer in return for an email address on your website that empower relationship building and conversion from visitor to customer and eventually to promoter. On that email list, there's a great tool, and many use it, many don't, many are intimidated by it, but doing a monthly or a weekly newsletter on Constant Contact or Robly is a great way for you to stay connected to your customers. But you have to have it, you have to create that email database, lead generation. Everybody who walks in your store or your business should fill out some kind of a form, name, address, phone number, and email address. Not a bad idea to put in some personal information, birth date, anniversary, so that you can remind them or call them on special days and let them know that you're thinking about them. It's just a great way that you can stay in touch with your customers and make another contact during the course of the business year. I tell the story that when I was a recruiter, I was dealing with the vice president of regulatory affairs for a large pharmaceutical company, and one day when we were talking, he goes, Jim, I really got to talk to you, but I got to run out. It's lunchtime. I got to get something for my wife. Today's her anniversary. I totally forgot. So in my notes, I set up a calendar reminder of the date of his anniversary. And every year, the day before, I would email him. I'd say, Jack, happy anniversary. Just wanted to remind you, you know, don't forget to get something nice for your wife. This went on for about 6 years. I did this every year for 6 years, and every year he would call me and say, thank God you told me. I'm so busy. I've been flying all over the world. You know, I didn't have time to get anything, but when I got your email, it reminded me. And I was able to do something nice and take her out to dinner and get her a nice gift. And, you know, so that was just one little touch that I did that made it, you know, special for him. I leave the recruiting industry. About 2 years later, I bump into him at a grocery store. I say, hey, Jack, how you doing? He goes, good. Hey, are you not recruiting anymore? I go, no, I got out. I started my own business. And he goes, yeah, that kind of screwed me up. I go, why? He goes, because I'm not getting the yearly reminders from you anymore about my anniversary, and I totally blew it last year. So now he's got somebody else to do that for him. But that's the little touches, wishing somebody a happy birthday, whether it be on Facebook or if you have some form of calendar function that you can do that with. It's a great way for you to, again, make that connection so that people keep thinking of you in a positive way. Let's talk about what it's like to work for or in or manage a multi-generational workforce. This is something that we're all about to face. I face it in my business. I've got people who are 21, 22, 24, 25 that are working with me. And then I have people that are my age, you know, 56, 55, 54, somewhere in that neighborhood. But how do you get those two different groups working together? So I have five secrets that will help you manage a multi-generational workforce. And if your team includes a mix of age groups, you may run into some management issues along the way. So these tips hopefully can help you manage and make the most of an age-diverse workforce. Now, with its oldest members turning 21, post-millennial Generation Z is breaking into the workforce. According to the New York Times, trend forecasters often consider Generation Z to start around 1996. Yes, all those digital natives are starting to roam the halls of corporate America, where they'll likely be joining workmates from other generations. Many firms in today's world have an employee base that spans four generations, from baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, and now Generation Z. And I just realized that now that we're at Generation Z, what's the next level? Now, while some would look at this as the perfect storm of generation gaps, savvy managers view it as a unique opportunity to enhance productivity. Managers who create a respectful and open-minded environment will likely experience a more vibrant workplace and can expect to see a stronger bottom line. But between generational stereotypes, shifts in how companies operate, and different communication preferences, effectively managing this melting pot of viewpoints isn't a simple task. Tension will inevitably flare up from time to time. Smoothing out these workplace tensions is challenging, but it's far from impossible. Leaders simply need to understand how these strains play out, and most importantly, what steps they can take to reduce the friction. So easing this generational tension in the workplace. Opportunities for tension at work may arise when you mix generation. It's not atypical to have a 20-something sitting next to a 50-something, taking on the same workload. Likewise, it's now commonplace for older employees to be supervised by individuals that are much younger than them. Another sore spot? Younger workers may feel held back by older employees who are resentful toward or distrusting of a newbie. When planning project staffing, try to mix and match your employees of all generations based on the unique skill sets that they bring to the table. Instead of lamenting the negative, supervisors should put a positive spin on the exciting ways that multi-generational workers are transforming the workplace, allowing experienced workers to get real-world input on the wants and needs of younger generations and vice versa can be invaluable. By embracing these differences, productivity gains can be realized in every part of the business, from user interfaces to customer service. Does age diversity in the workplace guarantee success? Not necessarily. But if it's approached in the right way, it can absolutely help make a positive difference. So you have to learn how to manage many generations. And if you are a manager, you'll likely deal with a multi-generational team at some point. Most companies do. That's why these are the steps that you may want to take to manage a diverse workforce. First, avoid labeling people. Stop talking about generational differences. Your management goals should be about working with individuals, not talking about those individuals' ages. Doing so will make the age gap less important to your team and help remove related stigmas. Instead, your employees can place their focus elsewhere, like on working as a cohesive group. Look for the commonalities. Encourage everyone, company leaders and employees, to embrace what they share, not what divides them. Not only does this build collaboration, but it also helps build trust across generations. You might be surprised at how much commonality exists between a baby boomer and a Generation Zer who share a love of motorcycles or gardening. Third, set up informal mentoring opportunities. Younger and older employees can mentor one another in unique ways. Generation Z was weaned on technology. A member of that group may be the perfect go-to person for general internet or smartphone-related questions. Similarly, a Gen Xer or baby boomer might be able to give significant insight on career growth based on his or her wealth of experience. Number four, let all employees explore their leadership chops. When planning projects and staffing, try to mix and match employees of all generations based on the unique skill sets that they bring to the table. The more chances they have to broaden their horizons, the less the age differences will matter. And try to avoid a one-size-fits-all managerial approach. It's okay to manage people differently based on their goals, abilities, and strengths, as long as you stay within human resources parameters. Evaluate employees based on who they are, not based on the generation that they belong to. Who wants to visit an ice cream shop that only has one flavor? Variety truly is the spice of life, so start seeing your coworkers for the flavor they bring to your office, and you may just see your team's productivity rise. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break. We come back, we've got more on Taking Care of Business.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
When they decompose, they generate heat, and when they generate heat, there's a possibility of a fire and possible explosion.
Richard Renard, an official with Arkema Chemicals, where two containers containing organic peroxides have ruptured because they could not be refrigerated due to power loss from Hurricane Harvey. A release around midnight led to 15 officers being checked at area hospitals for irritation to their mouth and throats. All officers are expected to be okay. Renard says expect more releases of chemicals.
The cold temperature products, the cold temperature organic peroxides, these materials have to be maintained cold. If they start to warm up, they become unstable and they will decompose.
Houston residents facing another day of dangerous flooding and evacuations. And now Beaumont, Texas has announced their main water pumping station has gone offline because of flooding. Water may not be restored till next week. USA Radio News.
Hey, it is Angie with Daybreak USA, a very important discussion. Dr. Len Friedland is joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, first, let's talk about what it is, doctor.
Well, thank you, Angie. So my name is Dr. Len Friedland. I'm a pediatrician and a vaccine researcher at GSK Vaccines. So what we're talking about today is a type of bacterial infection that can cause meningitis, which is swelling of the brain and spinal cord. It can also cause very severe blood poisoning, and it's caused by a bacteria. And the good thing is we now have vaccines, two different types of vaccines that can help provide protection against this particular bacteria in our adolescents and young adults. And why this is important, Angie, is this disease can come on extremely rapidly. It's uncommon, but it can be extremely dangerous. 1 in 10 will die from this infection, and 1 in 5 who are lucky enough to survive, like Nick, will have lifelong complications.
Any website you want to send us to in general for more info?
Meningitis.com, MENINGITIS.com.
Thanks so much for joining us on Daybreak USA.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Again, so glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy and Crown Custom Apparel in the Flemington Hunterdon Shopping Center over by Staples. So if you ever get a chance and need anything in the way of awards, apparel, signs, promotional items, or varsity jackets, by all means, stop by and say hello to us, and we'll be glad to take care of you. Bad business habits. Around this time of year, I get a lot of emails from people saying that, you know, there's kind of like a summer slump, if you will. The whole business climate seems to slow down a little bit. People are on vacation. They're not making deals as fast as they used to in the spring. And so they kind of get into a bit of a rut. And they create bad business habits. Sometimes they're good habits. Sometimes they're bad habits. But they need to make a change. So these are some common small business pitfalls that you can, so you can work smarter and truly enjoy being your own boss. And as a small business owner, you're in the process of building a company from the ground up. And there are a lot of competing priorities and pressures. So when you're caught up in the day-to-day hustle and bustle of running your business, it can be easy to fall into some bad habits along the way. So now we're going to explore 6 of the biggest bad business habits and reveal how to break them. The first habit is by wearing too many hats. In a recent survey, 35% of small business owners said that they wish that they could take on fewer roles and responsibility, kind of step back and concentrate on what's important. Numerous studies show that multitasking is harmful for a variety of reasons. It increases stress, decreases productivity, and you're far more likely to make mistakes in your work. But many entrepreneurs find themselves trapped wearing too many hats. So how do you break that? First, you want to delegate as much as possible, but having someone to delegate to is the first step. So building a strong team that you trust allows you to feel more comfortable placing responsibilities in their capable hands. So take your time during the hiring process. Reach out to reliable contacts in your industry to widen your net and consider not only work history, but also disposition and personality when interviewing. The second habit is getting hung up on old ideas. Now, you've probably dreamed about your company for a long time before you actually opened for business, and that means that you have a strong vision for what you want it to be. And while it's important to have vision, trying to stick to a plan for achieving that vision, even when the plan has proven itself outdated or flawed, can cause big issues. So how do you break this? In order to change course, you have to be willing to let go of what was once a brilliant idea. Now, as Dr. Alex Lickerman notes in Psychology Today, we tend to form biases towards our own ideas and opinions. Releasing those biases allows you the latitude to regroup and re-strategize as your company changes and grows. The third habit, and this is probably one that most people are guilty of, is over-promising. Many small business owners have the urge to say yes to every request. However, agreeing to something that your company's infrastructure or team can't support ends up creating more ill will than just saying no in the first place. How do you break this? You have to know your limits and then stick to them. Take time to consider the request, but if it's really something you can't do, then offer a firm and simple no. Don't go into details, as that invites the requester to push the issue and try to decline in person or over the phone, since the tone of an email can sometimes be misconstrued. The fourth habit is by not taking any risks. The flip side of overpromising is not taking enough risk. So whether it's fear of rejection, embarrassment, or financial failure, some small business owners lose their nerve just as their company is on the brink of a big breakthrough, thereby becoming their own worst enemies. How do you break this one? Well, the first step to overcoming fear of failure is acknowledging that it exists in the first place. So speak to trusted colleagues, friends, or family about your fears. The next step is focusing on things that are within your control. Turn your attention to tangibles like redesigning your website or creating a new organizational tool for your merchandise. The fifth habit is micromanaging. Let's face it, your business is your baby, and you want to do everything possible to make sure that it succeeds. But micromanaging your employees is a guaranteed way to breed disengagement and resentment amongst your staff. How do you break this? The urge to micromanage frequently springs from your own fear of failure or feelings of powerlessness. Facing those fears will allow you to let go of those control freak tendencies. Also, strive to create a workplace culture of open communication. If your employees feel comfortable speaking to you when an issue arises, you'll be at ease, granting them more freedom. The sixth habit is not taking care of yourself. With only 24 hours in a day, many small business owners aim to dedicate as many of those hours as possible to their business. Sleep, healthy eating, exercise, and vacation time are deprioritized or forsaken altogether. Not only is this dangerous for your physical and mental health, it can also take a toll on the health of your company. How do you break this? The normative social influence, a force defined in social psychology, drives us to conform to a societal standard or preconceived notion of our role. Since the entrepreneurial role is seen as someone who works day and night, that's what entrepreneurs feel pressured to do. Letting go of this pressure frees you up to achieve a healthy work-life balance and to work with more focus and efficiency during the hours that you do dedicate to your business. Running your own business can be challenging, but it can also be one of the most rewarding endeavors you ever pursue. When you know how to avoid these common pitfalls, then you'll be able to work smarter and then truly enjoy being your own boss. So hopefully there's a couple of tips in there that may help some folks that, you know, aren't quite, you know, letting go of some of the bad habits, particularly the delegation. I think that's a huge one. And hopefully you'll be able to let go and then move on. Uber has a new CEO, and he revealed in an interview the moment that he gained confidence in himself. So the ride-sharing company has hired Dara Khosrowshahi, as its new chief executive officer. And just over 2 months after their original CEO, Travis Kalanick, resigned. Now, while Khosrowshahi currently has a 94% approval rating as one of the highest-rated CEOs on Glassdoor, the tech pioneer hasn't always felt confident in his ability to lead. Now, early on, I didn't know what I was getting into, he says. In a profile in a 2013 Ernst & Young Technology Entrepreneur of the Year article. For the first year when I was running the company, I wasn't a particularly good CEO. In the interview, he discusses the moment that he gained confidence in his ability to do the job, bringing up the story of a young engineer who offered him some advice. She said, "Dara, you're telling us what to do, but you're not telling us where to go," he recalls. In the interview, and that really rung a bell for me, where I was just telling people what to do, but I wasn't laying the vision of here's where we have to go. If you tell us where to go, we'll do it, he recalls a young woman saying, because we believe in you. We want to go there, so tell us where to go, and we'll get it done. And that really shifted my view of what a CEO has to do. Kashfar Sahi says, a CEO of a multinational global company can't say what to do. You've got to plant the flag. Now, he was previously the CEO at Expedia, and Expedia began as an entrepreneur and Glassdoor co-founder Rich Barton's internal project at Microsoft into the billion-dollar online travel company it has become. He was 34 years old when Expedia later spun off from its parent company, IAC Interactive Corp., the New York Times reports. Now, although he wasn't a part of Expedia's founding team, he says in a 2013 LinkedIn post that he felt lucky to be in the right place at the right time with taking over as the company's CEO. For the future, Kashfar Sahi would do well taking his own advice as Uber's CEO. He writes that while at Expedia, the company has adopted a culture of celebrating failure because there is almost always another chance to get up and try again. Taking big risks combined with having a team you believe in and that believes just as much in you as a leader make for long-term wins, even in the game of inches. A lot of great stuff in there. It's an area that I find in business really is lacking, and that is confidence. You know, if you're looking solely at the bottom line and you're not hitting your numbers, there's a lack of confidence. There's a lack of confidence on the part of employees, and that sometimes stems from management, either talking down to them or not propping them up enough. There's a lot of times in my own business when I'll tell my staff that I want to go find the biggest hypodermic needle, fill it with confidence, and then shoot it in their butt because they all have the tools, they all have the skills, they just don't believe in themselves. And I see this in more and more businesses when I visit them if I'm doing any consulting. As managers, as owners, as bosses, we have to give our employees that freedom to fail and the freedom to succeed. And a lot of times we don't do that. We hold them back. And it's what the young lady in the article mentioned. She said, you've told us what to do. Now tell us where to go. What is the vision for the company? Where do you want the company to be? Let your employees know that so that they have a roadmap. They know where the company is heading, and they have to figure out what their role is in making that happen. So make sure that you're always communicating with your employees that vision. Sometimes there'll be detours along the way, but stay on that path. And unless the vision changes, if you have a five-year goal, keep everybody working towards that. You can add responsibilities as you go, but eventually they're the ones who will be driving the bus and getting you there in the first place. When we come back, I'm going to take a look at six revelations that new business owners have in their first year of business. So whether you're thinking about starting a business, have started a business, and just want to reflect back, it's a pretty good story about things that you didn't anticipate that crop up in your first year. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of Taking Care of Business every week at this time, except next week, heading up to Vermont, New Hampshire, doing a looking around up there, trying to find a vacation property with my wife, someplace that we can go on weekends, something we've been wanting to do for many years and finally got to the point where we said it's now or never. So there'll be no show next week. We'll probably actually be replaying this week's episode so that people can get more information on Houston disaster relief. Let's talk about new businesses, new business owners, and what they have to say about revelations that they've come to find in their first year of business. Now, when you open a new business, it takes grit and determination to start any small business, whether it's something you're doing out of your home, your garage, or in a brick-and-mortar location, or even online. Now, hopefully these tips will help you survive the challenges of getting off the ground, whether your talent is handmade, jewelry, or air conditioning repair. Most of us dream about being more than a cog in a corporate machine, but getting there takes determination and the ability to weather the ups and downs of owning a business, which is why so many people decide not to strike it out on their own in the first place. Because you can never be too prepared to start your own business, we've put together this guide to the most common lessons owners learn in their first year. And if you're thinking of taking that plunge soon, this list should give you a taste of what you've gotten yourself into and what you have to look forward to for at least the next 12 months. You have a lot more resources at your disposal than you think. Many small business owners have an image of themselves alone on a racetrack, fighting to stay competitive against an onslaught of insurmountable hurdles. But you probably have more people in your corner than you realize. Whether it's the friend who knows someone, or the coffee shop down the street that's willing to exchange lattes for a logo redesign, no small business owner is on an island. The key is to let it be known that to people that you're starting up. Mingle with a diverse group of individuals and tell them about your business in a low-key, getting-to-know-you sort of way. Part of your job as a business owner is to educate yourself, and that includes conversations with real people you meet on and off the clock. Ask questions and demonstrate an active interest in new experiences. You may be surprised at where it takes you. Be willing to adapt as you go. This is a lesson that every business leader has to learn, whether you're the CEO of a multinational conglomerate or head of a one-person operation that runs out of your basement. Today's economy is constantly in flux. So to stay relevant, business leaders must be willing to revise, change, and even scrap previous business models in favor of paths that are newer and more relevant. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to completely revise your business plan to reflect your client's every fleeting whim, but it does mean that you should investigate every potential use for your product or services. In your first year, you'll likely discover that some of your assumptions about your industry and customer base were wrong, and that means that you have to go back to the drawing board. So be flexible enough to change plans, even when it's painful, and it will cost you a lot less in the long run. You can't afford to undervalue your products and services. Many small business owners tend to set their prices too low when they start out. As tempted as you may be to lowball the competition with a cutthroat price, the consequences for meager prices can be serious. There's the financial loss on your end, obviously, but a too low pricing plan also sends a signal to would-be customers about the quality of what you're offering. Not to mention that it's a lot more difficult to raise prices on a client once they're accustomed to a discount. There's always going to be someone who can do it for less. As a small business owner, you can't afford to compete on price. What you can offer is a distinction in service, quality, innovation, or expertise that larger companies, who must play to the middle, may not be able to provide. So figure out what makes your company unique and then build your brand around that. In the first year, you never get a day off. If you like to take long vacations, don't go out on your own then. When you start a business, you don't just have to wear a lot of hats. In many cases, you have to wear every hat. And that means one day you might be a salesperson, and the next day you might be an administrative assistant, and the next day you may be the one cleaning the toilets. So it isn't always glamorous work, and it's not like you can tell the customer bad-mouthing your business on Twitter that you're taking a day off. To get your business off the ground, you have to be willing to put on the effort when it counts, even if that happens to be at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. You also have to separate your work from your home life. Somehow, that being said, as a small business owner, you quickly learn about the realities of burnout. Overworked minds tend to make poor decisions, and no matter how much gusto you start with, there's a real danger of overlooking yourself if you don't take a moment to decompress every once in a while. And unfortunately, with no weekends off and no one holding you to a strict schedule, it can be difficult to make time for that much-needed R&R. Learn to tell the difference between lethargy and total exhaustion, and don't feel guilty about setting aside a few hours for yourself every now and then. Also, you don't have to do everything yourself. Many business owners find that hiring an accountant, virtual assistant, or even temporary help for small projects can make all the difference. After all, you're a job creator now. And sometimes it takes a few tries before a business actually takes off. This may not be what you want to hear, but it's not uncommon for a small business to require a soft launch or two before it really takes off. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache if you learn to take these kinds of missteps in stride. Failed campaigns, projects, or product launches are no fun, but they offer a chance to learn valuable lessons about what you'll need to succeed in your industry. So take a page from Silicon Valley and consider it an opportunity to fail forward, a chance to get where you need to be in the future. Owning a business really is a sink or swim venture, but not everyone learns to swim in their first year. If it takes you a few failed endeavors before you find your sea legs, there's no shame in it. In fact, there's a feeling that's the feeling of the greatest inventors and leaders are all too familiar with. So if anything, you'll be in good company if you fail. And once you do make it work, it will be worth it. Best of luck to all of you. You're in for a real education. So I just found that article kind of fun because there's times when even now, 8 years later, running your business, running my business, I sit there and, you know, you can be tired and you can be this and you can be that. And you think back to those first days when, you know, you would get like 10 invoices a week and now you're getting 10 invoices an hour. And you think back and say, how did I do it back then? And then, you know, how do I do it now? So hopefully that's a story that you can relate to and enjoy, and you know, then hopefully you'll get to year two and you'll have it all figured out. In sports, in Major League Baseball and the American League, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions. In the NFL, this is the final preseason week when teams will play their or will pare their rosters down to the final roster. The Eagles will play the Jets tonight, and the Giants will take on the Patriots also tonight. This Saturday begins week one of college football. Locally, Rutgers will take on number 8 Washington at High Point Solutions Stadium in Piscataway, New Jersey at 8 p.m. tomorrow night. In NASCAR news, it is throwback weekend as the teams head to the track too tough to tame, Darlington Speedway, this weekend for the Bojangles Southern 500. Many teams will use paint schemes from earlier seasons on their cars, always a fan favorite weekend. In other NASCAR news, Hendrick Motorsports has announced a number swap for Chase Elliott, who will now pilot the number 9 car next year, sponsored by Napa, and the iconic number 24 will go to William Byron next season. Elliot taking the number 9, the same number his father drove for several seasons when he was NASCAR's most popular driver. Wanted to remind you that at the beginning of the show, we talked about the relief efforts in Houston and how you can help folks for general relief. There's obviously the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army. The mayor, Sylvester Turner of Houston, has created the Harvey Relief Fund for called the Greater Houston Community Foundation. That's going to connect donors with the work of nonprofits for innovative solutions in the social sector. There's Global Giving, the United Way of Greater Houston. The Center for Disaster Philanthropy has also launched the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. There are several GoFundMe pages. Before you give any money, make sure that you check these people out on a website called Charity Navigator to make sure that they are legitimate. Blood, the American Red Cross, is accepting donations both in the South and anywhere. At times of disaster, it's great to have enough blood on hand. There's shelter and food needed. There's food banks all over Houston, Galveston, Corpus Christi, Southeast Texas that need your donations. And remember, locally, you can donate towels to local animal shelters that are accepting animals, pets, dogs, cats, from all over Southeast Texas that have been displaced in the storm. A lot of people had to leave with the shirts on their backs and couldn't take their animals with them. These animals need protection as well. So fresh towels, old towels, bring them to St. Hubert's, Geralda, in Madison or in Branchburg. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. I was in the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. He said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I had been very clear to the retailers and the oil companies that we have to know that we have to get the fuel as fast as we can out so everybody has the fuel to evacuate.
Florida Governor Rick Scott talking to reporters about steps he's taking to increase gasoline flow into his state. Gas shortages are showing across the state as people try to flee Hurricane Irma. Florida Attorney General Pam Biondi told reporters anybody trying to price gouge on gasoline going to face some severe penalties.
I can do $1,000 per fine up to $25,000 and hurt them, and I can also and will destroy their reputation as well.
Hurricane Irma striking Puerto Rico, where at least 1 million people are without power. Puerto Rico officials say they've confirmed at least 10 people have been killed by the massive Category 5 storm. Officials with the National Hurricane Center say that Irma is the most powerful Atlantic storm in a decade. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with 2 pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Steve Bannon giving his first major public interview since leaving the White House. Correspondent Chris Barnes has the details.
Steve Bannon saying of neo-Nazis, neo-Confederates, and the Ku Klux Klan,
there's no room in American politics for that. There's no room in American society for that.
The former White House chief strategist also tells CBS's 60 Minutes with Charles